Hope you all have. Wednesday night, if you miss, I'll just touch on it. We got into the 8:23 and 8:28, the showbread and the purpose of God, and the first fruits and the purpose both point to the showbread that was part of the of what was offered as first fruits by the people of Israel from the granaries. So the loaves of bread were put out there, and God's purpose is to show us off as first fruits in Jesus Christ. So that's really what the message was Wednesday night, and if I believe it was taped. I think the Lord really put a little wind in my sails that night. So I would say that if you guys want to listen to it, you ought to. It's pretty good stuff. I thank God Almighty for all that He gives me. You know, He's the author of all this. All we do is we provide a stream or a flow or a conduit, and we're obedient in that, right? So let's go to 8:28, please, Luann. Romans 8:28. That's a good one too, though. Yeah. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, with this, remember that we talked about infirmities being set upon us, and that in the suffering and the infirmities that we have, we know that oftentimes they're not just for us; they're for the people that we come in contact with every day. It's the light that we show. How do we respond to these? How does the world see us respond to these infirmities? Do they see us respond as the world does, or do they see us respond in a supernatural way, the way a Christian would, with the Holy Spirit guiding them, the way Stephen did, for example, when he was being stoned? Do they see something that passes all worldly understanding? And I would say that they, I'm sure, do. I think Al has testified that a number of occasions in jail and in the hospital, he's provided messages and a witness that certainly you wouldn't have been able to foretell that this would have happened. But God foreordained this. God predestined Al for that. God predestined Al for that very moment, for that time, to be there. Just like God predestined Greg to be there on that golf course with that Filipino. I love that story. I told somebody else that story. That is so cool. That is so cool because it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ residing within you, right? And that's what we all strive for. Whatever calls, whatever gifts that God gives us, we look to embrace those gifts and to stand strong in them, to stand fast in them, regardless of the winds, of the storms, of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We hold fast to the truth. We hold fast to our faith, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ that resides within, right? So, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And the purpose, again, is the showbread. It's purpose, it means purpose, but it also means the loaves of bread that were offered up in the temple. And the temple now is here. It's the body. It's all of us, right? So, I'll just leave that with you. We went into that in great detail on Wednesday. 8:29, please. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, if He foreknew us, He then predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son, not the world. So, when we see these things hanging on us, whatever those might be, and we know because of where we're at in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even when I was young, I knew when I was doing something wrong. I knew in my heart that the Holy Spirit was there. There's a conviction, and that conviction is a merciful conviction, as Brother Eric said in his message last week. It's not one of condemnation. It's not one of wrath. It's one to get our attention and say, hey, listen up. I got something better for you. We are not those whose consciences are seared, as Romans 1 talks about. We do have ears for the Lord. We do have eyes for the Lord. We do have hearts for the Lord. So when we do come across these sufferings and afflictions, It's not why me, it's why, Lord, because we want to hear what he has to say for us, right? So when he foreknew us, he also did predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his Son, perhaps by those sufferings and afflictions, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And we'll look like our big brother, Jesus, right? We'll look like him. We'll be like him. Our hearts will be like him. Our hearts will be conformed to him. What does Paul really say here? For whom he did foreknow. The he did foreknow is the Greek word 4267. It's progenosko, and it's to have knowledge beforehand, to foreknow of those whom God elected to salvation, to predestinate. Now, who did God elect to salvation? Are there a special group of people that God said, okay, you, you, and you? He said none should be condemned. He said, I have come to save the whole world. The whole world would be saved. God so loved the world that if they should believe in his name, none should perish but should have everlasting life, right? Isn't that so? He didn't say, I got a special group of people that I want to save. He wanted to save the whole world. Now, did he have a called out nation to show the world who he was at one point? Yes, he did, Israel. Are we not a part of that nation now spiritually? Have we not been adopted into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, we have. So everyone that wants to be a part of that family is the called out, is the predestined, is the chosen, are the ones he foreknew. Perhaps God knows our hearts. He knew us before the world was created, right? Perhaps he knows what we're going to choose at any given moment. Perhaps he knows the discipline, the affliction that must be met out to bring us to where he wants us to be, perhaps, right? But he did foreknow everyone that would respond to the call. And God help everyone to respond to the call. God's mercy is great, is far greater than his judgment. His mercy surpasses the judgment. His judgment was met out on Jesus Christ, as Eric said. Jesus, our Lord, suffered, took the whole sin, all the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, on his shoulders, so that we wouldn't have to pay for that. That wrath wasn't ours. That penalty wasn't ours. The death isn't ours. We have defeated death in him. It is finished. Now we but walk in it. Now we but grab onto this inheritance that we have in him, right? So that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. So when he did foreknow us, he predestinated us to be who he is, way before the foundations of the world. Now, Webster says predestined is to foreordain by divine decree or purpose. So Webster understands there's some divine nature at work here. It's to foreordain, it's foreordained or appoint beforehand. So there's something going on. Before we were born, we were appointed for this time, for this place, for the jail cell, for the hospital bed, for the court, for the children when we teach them. We were appointed at this time. And do we take this call seriously? Or do we take our title as the called seriously? Do we enter into this every day, or do we sort of let those the waves of the storms of life sort of engulf us so that our vision is not clear? Or do we keep our vision on the Lord Jesus Christ so that our calls are pure and clear as we walk in these storms, right? And we don't have to walk in the storms. We can walk right through them the way Daniel did, the way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, and the way Peter did, and the way Stephen did. There's all kinds of examples. So, yes, he did foreordain us. He did predestinate us for these times. Now, can we go to 1 Corinthians 2:7, please, for a second, Luann? Please. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. How do we speak that? How do we speak that hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. How do we do that? Well, we know that the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. So we speak it as the Spirit works in us. We speak what the Spirit speaks. That is what we do. Not my will, Father, but yours, right? So it's not what I think. It's not what the world thinks. It's what the Spirit thinks. And we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. When we do that, there's a status that Al talks about. It's our status in Jesus Christ. We're in a sense of obedience or a stature that we enjoy in Him. And because of this, we can be that light unto the world. We can be that shining city on a hill. Can we not? Yes, we can. So 2:7, I think, is that's fine for that. I'm not going to get any more into that because I want to move on here. Can we go to 1 Corinthians 4:5 also, please, just while we're in Corinthians? Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Now, the point I wanted just to touch on this as an aside while we're tooling through 1 Corinthians, but will make manifest the counsels of the heart, will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Know this, that in 8:27, Romans 8:27, he says to us, let me just read it in the Amplified. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. So that's consonant. This is consonant with 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, which he searcheth the hearts. And we've been talking about the hearts, where we also search our hearts to pull out these things, the leaven, what we talked about on Wednesday evening. We pull out these things that are not of God. We know that the perfect sacrifice is unleavened. We know that the type was represented to us to bring to the temple. That type was unpolluted, was without defect, and that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that's what we are in Him. But we must be in Him in that, and we must apprehend this, as Romans 6:23 says. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And that's what 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 says. I just thought I would touch on that while we were there. Can we go to Ephesians 1:5, please, Luann? Here's that idea about predestination again. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He wants all to be saved. This is that same notion that it's not a select few, it's everybody that would come to the table, right? Everybody that would come to the banquet. It's a spiritual banquet. That's what we're going to celebrate next week, the communion of the saints with the Lord Jesus Christ, the body and the blood, amen? So everyone that would come to him is part of the family of Jesus Christ, and we're no less than the actual children of Israel. God has made us equal in stature. And from a standpoint of adoption, the children that are adopted, they take just as much as the children that are natural. We get the same toys. We get all the benefits and all the blessings. There's no difference. And that's man's law, but God's law has got to be even better than that, right? So, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, all the things the Lord has prepared for those that love him, right? And when you love them, you become part of that adopted family of Jesus Christ. Okay, how about 1 and 11, please? Ephesians 1 and 11. In fact, you know what I'm going to do, Luann? I'll wait. Forget that. Let's just move on for something real quickly here. Okay, that word in 8:29, Romans 8:29, if we can go there again, please. That word to be conformed is the Greek word 48:32, sumorphos. It's having the same form as another, similar, conformed to. So we're having the same form as our Lord Jesus Christ. We're similar, we're conformed to him. We're not the head, but we are the body, and we're conformed to it. The body is agreeable with the head. It's agreeable with everything the head tells it to do. We're conforming to the will and the intent and the good pleasure of the Lord, right? When we walk in what the Lord has for us, we are conforming to the head. And the body marches the way the head says to go. My foot doesn't go this way without my head telling it. My hand doesn't raise without my head telling it. My eye doesn't blink. My ear, I guess my brain's got to tell it to hear. There's something going on there. I don't know how that works. It's more of an involuntary thing, but it's. I know the brain controls everything. So to be conformed is to be like him. To the image is the Greek word 1504, icon. It's an image, figure, likeness, an image of the things, the heavenly things. It's used of the moral likeness of renewed men to God. It's the image of the Son of God into which true Christians are transformed. It's a likeness not only to the heavenly body, but also to the most holy and blessed state of mind which Christ possesses. So our goal is to have that same state of mind, that same heart of the Lord that he had for us on Calvary. And again, when we enter into this suffering and this affliction, know that we are in him and he is in us, and he still reaches out to everybody. So when you say why, know that this suffering and this affliction that we might be in might just be to reach some that have yet to come into the light, right? So we have to be mature in this, and we have to praise the Lord in all things, as Paul said. So conform to the image of his Son. And again, that image is not only the physical image, it's not only the spiritual body. We're going to inherit a spiritual body. Our body's not going to die. That's what he wears. That's what he is wrapped around his spirit now. And it is a physical body. It is a physical body. The saints could feel the wounds, couldn't they? They could touch the wounds. They could touch it in his side where he was pierced. Thomas had to have a little grab on that, and the Lord gave it to him. So the body that we have will be just like the Lord's. We're going to be just like the Lord. We're going to conform to the Lord physically, but also in our heart and also in our mind. And this doesn't happen overnight, as Pastor Danny says. You don't just die and all of a sudden you magically go to heaven. All things are remediated along the way. There is a work that has already been done that we must apprehend, that we must walk in under Romans 6:23, right? So it bears us to be sober-minded in considering these things as we walk in our day-to-day lives and the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and in the tumult of emotions that we find ourselves in sometimes. It's easy to get wrapped around a tree or something when you're with the ones you're closest to, even. Sometimes they bring out, unfortunately, sometimes not the nicest things in us, I suppose, and I'm speaking about myself, but. So I work on those things. I try to be a better example of who the Lord wants me to be, even with my family. It's easy to be that with people that you don't know as well and you don't have to be with. Well, when you're around those that you have to be with, now comes the test, right? But thank you, Lord, because you've made us worthy of the test. You've made us able to graduate with honors. And those honors are in you, Lord, right? So we conform to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we're going to be just like him. He's the firstborn, but we're going to be also like him. We're going to be born into this kingdom. We're going to be born again into this kingdom, right? The brethren, that's the Greek word, eidi, adelphos. It's a brother, whether born of the same two parents or only of the same father or mother. It's having the same national ancestor, belonging to the same people, or countrymen. It's any fellow or man. Countrymen is interesting, by the way. Are we not of the same kingdom? We're all the same. We're all countrymen in the same kingdom, are we not? Any fellow or man, a fellow believer, incited to another by the bond of affection, an associate or in employment or office. Are we an associate in employment or office with the Lord? We definitely are an associate. He's the boss, but I'm one of his associates. We're all associates in there. We're all entering into a different office to take that call up which the Lord gives us, or those calls which the Lord gives us. We are in the employment of the Lord. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord, right? So we choose who we're going to serve. We choose who we're going to be employed with, who is going to determine our course. It's either going to be the world or it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello there, Earl. And so it's brethren in Christ, his brothers by blood. It's men, apostles, Christians, as those who are exalted to the same heavenly place. So we are exalted to the same heavenly place because in his good pleasure he permits this. He allows this. He finished this. He said, all you have to do is receive this and you get to come to my house. You get to come with me to my Father's place. And where my Father's house is, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would not have told you, right? So we get to go. We get to go where he is at. And we get to live with all that he has. All we have to do is receive it and walk in it and apprehend it. Sounds like a tall order, but it's not when we're in him. The more that you permit the Lord to work these things out in you, the easier it is. And it becomes almost a habit. It almost becomes a happenstance thing. It becomes easier. There is a process, and there are things that all of us are working out of our system. And God, help us to do that quicker and quicker so that we come to the place where you would have us, Lord, right? So, 8 and 30, please, Luann. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, we know the word predestinate is the same thing that we talked about before. It's whom he foreknew, appointed beforehand. Those are the meanings. Before the creation of the world, it's a divine appointment. That's what the predestination is. But he also called. What is that he also called? That's the Greek word 2564, kaleo. And it's to call aloud. Utter in a loud voice, to invite, to call, by name. It's to give a name to. So he knows our name. He knows who we are. He calls us out. Before we knew, he says, I knew you from the womb. Now, a man in his exalted state says that he knows when the baby arrives. But that baby arrived well before the womb. That baby God knew before the creation of the world. So he called us out before this. He called us by name. He knew us from the womb. He says to give some name to one, call to one, call his name, to be called, i.e. to bear a name or title among men, to salute one by name. He has names for us. Look at Gabriel, the messenger. He had a name. He had a purpose. This was God's messenger to tell the shepherds and to tell all those that would listen about the Savior that was being born. There is a name that we all have, too, that we walk in and that we ought to walk in. And we are declared righteous, so we are declared as we ought to be. So let's walk in that, right? Now, justified is to render righteous or such he ought to be. It's to show, exhibit, and evince one to be righteous, such as he is, and wishes himself to be considered. It's to declare, pronounce one to be righteous, just, or such as he ought to be. So we might not be there yet, but as we know from prior studies in chapter 2, chapter 3, all throughout chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 6 in Romans, he talks about justification. And it is a state of where we are declared as we ought to be. He declares us that by his word. He says this is, just like he created the earth, he declares our righteousness in us. Now, do we believe that? Do we agree to hold on to this righteousness that he has declared for us as we ought to be? All we got to do is say, yes, Lord, I want that. I believe you, and you take faith in that. And you say, yes, I believe your word is true, Lord. I believe that what you say, what you declare for me, is true. Do I believe it, or do I think not? And if we don't think so, then I suppose we're in rebellion, because we should believe everything that the Lord says, right? Okay. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Glorified is to think or suppose or be of opinion. So he glorifies us as of the same as Jesus Christ. He gives us the stature of Jesus Christ. That's his opinion. He praises, extols, magnifies, and celebrates our name called out with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in him, we all share that same name, right? That's the name above all names, right? It's to make glorious, adorned with luster, clothed with splendor. This is royalty. that we're part of the family. I like being part of this family. It's to make renowned, render illustrious, to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest and acknowledged. He did this in the heavenly places, right? He did this for us. He declared us as we ought to be. Do we enter into that? Yes, yes, yes. Amen? Now, Pastor Chuck is here, and far be it from me to cramp the style of the ministry, the music ministry. I need to go. But thank you all for listening to me. I really do enjoy and take it as a privilege to speak before you, so thanks for listening. You all have a good day, and the Lord bless you and keep you.